Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. On expanding and expanding in all other directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, the speed of light you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you once again to Comedy Playhouse. It's a place where you'll hear the jokes, the japes, the jibes, the jitters, the jitterbugs, and of course, much more than that. Tonight, we're saluting one of our favorite comedians, someone you know and love, as do I. But first, these jokes. Tonight, by the way, we're going to be joined by Lady Lillian of Lancaster, Jackie Japes, our song stylist, Rose Royce, that discriminating reporter and media columnist, and Centilina, who will bring those special stylings just for you. So first things first, we've got some new age jokes today. What's indispensable at the Zen driving school? Well, the traffic cones. What movie did the Taoists recently attend? Coneheads. What do Tibetan monks regard as the best cone of them all? King cone. What type of temple did the Tibetan Buckminster Fuller worship in? Why, a cone dome. Why did Dorothy in the Buddhist version of The Wizard of Oz say, "There's no place like Cone. There's no place like Cone"? How does the Dalai Lama like his Italian ices? Why, he likes them in a cone. What kind of dance did the Tibetan temple dance do? Well, she always does the cone can. The Tibetan ophthalmologist remarked that his patient who had just become colorblind was having problems with his rods and his cones. Where do the monks keep the colored sand for their temporary maps of heaven? In brightly colored cones. The Dalai Lama wanted to make housing more affordable, so despite a small market and a certain degree of skepticism, he released a series of low-interest cones. And now, a tribute to a dear, dear friend. Ladies and gentlemen, maestro, start your engines.
Nano, nano.
Thank you.
And now our drama, Last Train from Ork. Da 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 da.
Mindy, have you seen Mork? He hasn't sent his report in several days.
It's too late, Orson. He's gone.
Where did he go?
Orson? He's gone. He left us. He's gone home.
Did those Necrotons get him? We heard they were sniffing around this part of the galaxy again.
No. There's been no Necrotons on Earth since that last time. He's just... gone.
I'll have to look into this. I'll see you later, Mindy.
Last week, you were introduced to the Amusatron 5000. Never prepared to let a good thing go to waste, we've upgraded it, and I'd like to have you talk with me, with the inventor of the Amusatron 5000 Beta.
Introduction to the Amusatron 5000 Beta, Dr. Hilarion T. Terabyte Warbuckle. Dr. Warbuckle, I understand that you're in large part responsible for the massive upgrade that took the Amusatron 5000 decades into the future. You're now about to boot up the Amusatron 5000 Beta for its debut and maiden launch. Is that a fair assessment?
You may call me Dr. Hilarion T. Terabyte Warbuckle. Please, my parents are still paying for that force, Doctor. Let's give them the satisfaction, shall we?
Dr. Warbuckle, we're speaking to you from deep beneath the Earth in your secret lab. Is that true?
Yes, Spizak, it is. Our lambs were once buried beneath the massive giant dunes on the northern slopes of Key West. But due to the fracking of the coast, our lands have quietly settled to a depth of nearly 10,000 feet beneath Matacombe Key, not far from the island where Key Largo was shot.
And shot repeatedly, I might add, and nearly to death at that.
And for no good reason, driving while blacked out, I think, and only the Seminoles are the wiser for it.
Well, let's get back to the groundbreaking work on the Amusatron 5000 then. This new machine relegates the old original Amusatron 5000 itself, almost a legend in comedy, back to the Stone Age of the Neolithic Abacus.
The Amusatron 5000 Beta represents a groundbreaking shift away from standard intelligence simulation to an actual neurotransmitter-based silica waveform.
So, does it have that new argumentation chip then?
That's right. No nostalgia goes unchallenged. No pains was spared to gild this lilywack of a machine with its nearly limitless blanks of gold-plated rhythmatronic calculators. And we've installed the new Gentonic accelerator to boot for the power.
When can we see the demonstration, Dr. Warbuckle?
We are currently feeding the new organic circuits, Zabratus, right now. And in about 15 minutes, we can press the play button to unleash this gargantuan default for the all-new Amusatron 5000 Beta.
This has been Dr. Hilarion T. Terabyte Warbuckle. We wish you, Dr. Hilarion T. for Terabyte Warbuckle, we wish you every success.
These organic circuits can be very touchy. Look, you nearly put me.
And now, the unveiling of the Amusatron 5000 Beta.
This is the beta version of the Amusatron Model 5002. Here is our latest humor download by Boom Q. Why do blondes take the pill? So they know what day of the week it is. Aridi tells her blonde stepsister, I slept with a Brazilian. Quote, the blonde replies, oh my god. You slut. How many is a Brazilian? Joke next. Q. Why do blondes wear their hair up? To catch everything that goes over their heads. Joke next. Q. What does a blonde and a beer bottle have in common? They're both empty from the neck up. Joke next. Q. Why was the blonde upset when she got her driver's license? Because she got an F in sex. Joke next to what does a blonde do when her laptop computer freezes? She sticks it in the microwave. Joke next to why did God give blondes to more brain cells than horses? So they don't shit in the parade. Joke next to what is it called when a blonde blows in another blonde's ear? A data transfer. Joke next to what's the mating call of the blonde? A rhyme sue or drunk. Joke next to what do you call 10 blondes standing ear to ear? A wind tunnel. Joke next to why are blondes bad at hide and seek? Because they can never find the sausage. Joke next to what is a cool refreshing drink for a blonde? A Perrier. Joke next to how did the blonde try to kill the bird? She threw it off a cliff. Joke next imitation of a blonde refueling. Flap hand. Blowing air into ears. Joke next cue, why did the blonde stare at frozen orange juice can for 2 hours? Because it said concentrate. Joke next cue, what do you call 10 blondes at the bottom of a pool? Rare pockets. Joke next cue, what's 5 miles long and has neck of 40? A blonde parade. Joke next cue, did you hear about the blonde who gave her cat a bath? She still hasn't got in all the hair off her tongue. Joke next cue, why do blondes wear ponytails? To hide the valves, Tim. Joke next cue, what goes vroom shriech, vroom shriech, vroom shriech? A blonde at a flashing red headlight. Joke next cue, how do you confuse a blonde? Ask her to alphabetize a bag of M and Miss. Joke next cue, what do you call a blonde holding a balloon? A Siamese twins. Joke next cue, what do you call an eternity? A 4 blondes in 4 cars at a 4-way stop. Joke next cue, why do blondes have GIF written on their shoes? A toes going first. Joke next cue, why do blondes always smile during lightning storms? They think their picture is being taken. Joke next cue, what happens when a blonde gets Alzheimer's disease? Her goes up. Joke next cue, how can you tell a blonde has used your computer? There is white out on the screen. Joke next cue, how do you change a blonde's mind? A1 blow in her ear. A2 buy her another beer. Joke next cue, what does a blonde say when you blow in their ear? Thanks for the refill. Joke next cue, how do you kill a blonde? Put a scratch and sniff at the bottom of the pool. Joke next cue, what do you call a blonde with half a brain? A gifted. Joke next cue, what did the blonde do when she heard that 90% of accidents occur around the home? She moved. Joke next cue, why was the blonde's belly button sore? Because her boyfriend was blonde too. Joke next cue, did you hear about the blonde who stayed up all night to see where the sun went? It finally dawned on her. Joke next cue, how does a blonde turn on the light after sex? Opens the car door. Joke next cue, what do you say to a blonde that won't come home with you? Have another beer. Cue, how do you drown a blonde? Tape a mirror to the bottom of the pool. Joke next cue, what's the difference between a blonde and a brick? If you lay a brick, it doesn't follow you around for 2 weeks. Joke next cue, what happened to the blonde ice hockey team? They drowned in spring training. Joke next cue, why were there 6 bullet holes in the blonde's mirror? She tried to kill herself. Joke next cue, what is the difference between blondes and traffic signs? Some traffic signs say stop. Joke next cue, why don't blondes call 911 in an emergency? They can't remember the number. Joke next cue, what can strike a blonde without her even knowing it? A thought. Joke next cue, what do you do when a blonde throws a pin at you? Run like hell, she has a grenade in her hand. Joke next cue, how did the blonde break her leg raking leaves? She fell out of the tree. Joan Jett, a blonde and a brunette were jumping off the building. Who jumped first? The brunette. The blonde had to ask for directions.
And that was the beta voyage of the Musitron 5000 beta. And now, this word from our sponsor.
Let's pretend that I am a non-believer, and you try and convert me.
Hey, you, non-believer.
Good start. But we need more power in your voice and more conviction.
Oh, I see.
Freedom!
I have need of your attention.
Do you realize that the Venusians are coming down to Earth? But they're not coming here on Veterans Day, not on April Fool's Day, but on Labor Day. Baby, baby. Can you hear me, friend?
I hear you.
ready now? Can I get a nanu nanu?
Nanu nanu.
Thank you, friends. Do you realize, friends, what they're coming here to do? Because they've come down here to blow the earth to smithereens. But it's not that bad, friend. Because they're sending a ship down here to save 1,000 of us. And they're making a list, and they're checking it twice. Now, friend, now you can either stay down here in your Drisco drug-infested inferno, or come up to Venus and have your very own Venusian condominium with hot and cold running champagne and underwater dancing. You must apply now!
Mark, that was beautiful. Why can't you be more like him? But there's something missing. What we need is more of your experiences with the Venusians here on Earth.
I didn't meet them on Earth. I met them on Venus.
You've been there?
Oh, yes. I've been to all the planets in your solar system.
Mars, Mercury, Pluto?
Oh, don't ever go to Pluto. It's a Mickey Mouse planet. You see, Exodore, I have something to explain to you. The Venusians aren't coming to blow up the Earth.
They're not.
No, you see, their technology isn't prepared for space travel.
It isn't.
No, their highest invention so far has been the garbage can.
It is.
And the only reason they invented that was to have something to tip over.
Blasphemy! I had high hopes for you, Mark. You're crazy.
Mark! Oh, what a relief.
Mindy, I didn't want you to find me here.
You know, I knew as soon as I saw that Friends of Venus sign, I knew you'd be here. I want you to come home with me now.
No, you don't. You just say that because you feel sorry for me.
Mark, I don't feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for me.
I don't understand. When I'm not there, you're free to do as you wish. You have a home of your own.
No, what I have is an apartment. It was only a home when there was somebody in it that I cared about.
Me? But I get in your way. You told me so.
Oh, I know, and I'm sorry. I was blaming you because guys stopped asking me out. And then when one did ask me out,
I know. I made a real crim look of myself. It was my fault.
Mark, I'm a woman, and a woman just sometimes needs to be held.
And that man Brad, you wanted him to hold you.
Well, not him necessarily. I really didn't get a chance to find out. But yeah, every once in a while, a little hug really does help get me through the day.
What's a hug?
Well, you know, like...
Like this?
Yeah.
Oh. Soft. I can understand how this keeps you going. It's got me going, and I don't even know what it is.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Calling Orson. Orson, I am calling you.
What a terrible connection. Sounds like someone stepped on a Frankel's tail.
Yes, me reporting from Earth.
And what words of wisdom are you transmitting across the universe today?
I learned how to make a human happy. I learned how to give a hug.
And a hug is?
It's when you wrap your arms around a human's body and squeeze.
I thought that's what Earthlings call wrestling.
No, in wrestling you squeeze a lot harder until they sweat and go...
They don't sweat and go... when you hug them?
No. They just cuddle and go...
Ah, hugging. Amazing what pleases the primitive tribes. I'll never understand them.
But Orson...
Yes?
It was good for me, too.
Mark!
Yes, Your Immenseness. This is Mork, signing off from Boulder, Colorado. Until next week.
Nano, nano.
And now, our special songstress, Miss Jackie Japes, will bring you the word from our good friends protecting the southern border. The Ladies Republican Caucus brings you this message. Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of that wall of defense protecting our southern border, the Southern Women of the Republican Party present, What Do the Simple Folks Do? The song stylings of Jackie Japes, our lead vocalist this evening. Jackie, take it away.
What do the simple folk do as they live their little lives serving we few? We watch them as they suffer, we watch them as they toil. They bring our breakfast, trim the trees, and then we let them change our oil. 'Cause that's what simple folk do. What we say, when we say, then go away. Our drug policy destroys their very fertile land. Our cheap manufacturing destroys what's left, 'cause it can. They cannot make a living out on their simple farms, so off they send their kiddies, seems heedless of harm. And that's what simple folk do, just what we say. We'll scrub some more there by the door. We see them running gauntlets of barrio and ghetto, their gas and food so costly, we have no regretto. Just struggle, that's what simple folk do. What we say, when we say, then go away. We hire them to trim our lawns and give our children baths, but pay a living wage? Ha! Surely you laugh. That's what the hoity-toity do. As we please, do you mind? So refined. What do the refugees do as they wander friends over dusty deserts too? They stray among the cactus, dodging coyotes too, as they scale our mighty fences and dodge the buckaroos. And that's what simple folk do, as we say, not as we do. They smuggle drugs we like here, they tuck them up there too. When we decide to punish in the jail, there's profit too. And that's what Americans do. Like McCain, Perry and Brewer too. Watch out, we might come helping and bring a little war. We'll bomb their homes and villages, destroy and maim and more. We build a real disaster and do it so much faster, 'cause that's what bully nation do. What we say, not what we do. And that's how simple folk get screwed. On your knees, if you please, your dirty, filthy knees, like we say, now go away.
And now, a moment of reflection. Our counselor and opinionator herself, Miss Rose Royce. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome our cultural commentator, Miss Rose Royce. Miss Royce?
Robin Williams took his own life this past Monday, and the Western world went into shock. Maybe the whole world, or at least three quarters. Suffering from severe depression and anxiety, most of us never knew how much he must have suffered. Certainly I, never having met him, did not know of his mental illness. And today, it was revealed that he had also been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, which causes depression. So to me, when I heard the news, it was a blow, a literal punch in the stomach, followed by a terrible lingering sadness of the loss of a comedic genius. I remember watching Robin Williams many times on late-night TV, and even if I wasn't planning to watch, I would stay up just so I could see him live. The one thing you could count on when Robin appeared is that he would be unpredictable. He was fresh and spontaneous with a crackling and intelligent wit, so not only was he funny, but he was so brilliant and so quick that you had to pay attention or you'd miss it. I loved that about him. Yet there was a kindness about him, a sensitivity and empathy that glowed underneath everything he did. I loved Jonathan Winters, too. He was really quick, funny, and amazing. And I remember Robin once waxing poetic about how much he had admired him. But even though Jonathan Winters was great, Robin had more depth. More than just a comedian, Robin could really act. And I loved watching him do it. I've seen many of his films, and he stole the scene whenever he was on camera. It didn't have to be a big part, either. His talent was so enormous that it just radiated whenever he was on screen. If you don't believe me, just watch the film Dead Again, a great thriller with Robin in a small, uncharismatic role. But those crinkly blue eyes, that huge talent, jumped out at you, and his portrayal made it memorable. And that's the saddest thing. Robin Williams was so memorable, and now that's all we'll be able to do, remember him. His persona was so large, so witty, fresh and quick, that whatever he did felt like a cool summer breeze whooshing through the screen, leaving you laughing and smiling with a good feeling, because not only was he terribly funny, but there was a warmth, a sweetness about him that was always there, and you could feel that too. I heard on the news that Robin used to hand out candy with a toothbrush attached on Halloween. It sounds just like him, brilliant and caring at the same time. That creative mind that he had, the one with the crackling wit, the one that gave so much joy to so many people, is the same mind that short-circuited and snuffed him out way too early, way too soon. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. You have entered the ranks of the immortals to be loved and remembered forever.
Thank you, Mickey. That was beautiful. And now from the master himself. Why are we here?
Hardly give you a chance to talk, but I was just so mad. You know what I mean?
Nat, my pleasure. I was sent here to learn, you know.
Well, if there's anything I can do for you.
Oh, if it's not too precious, a glass of water. And if it is, a quart of oil will suffice.
Oh. I think I can spring for the water.
Oh, spring water. Humor.
Better yet, how about a little iced tea?
When on earth, do as the earthling. How are they greeting you?
Do you talk to your plants, too?
Oh, yes, they're good listeners, especially the old ones.
Yeah, I talk to my plants all the time. Keeps them young and keeps them healthy. Oh. Your suit's on backwards.
It is. Boy, do I feel like a clone.
You're not a priest. Who are you?
I am Mork from Ork. Nanu, nanu.
Ork?
Yes. You see, Ork is a planet. You follow the Big Dipper till it comes to a dead end, then you hang it up.
I'm up.
up, down, hard to tell out in hyperspace.
Oh, right. I have a poor sense of direction myself. So, you're from outer space.
Yes. Do you mind if I take a few pictures for the folks on the home planet? They'd like to get some postcards.
No.
Okay, watch the flukey.
How did you do that?
With my instrumentic glove. Some model starting in a 30th ribbit. Oh, mind if I do? The paws that refresh us.
You drink that with your finger.
Yes, how do you drink?
With my mouth.
Well, how do you talk and drink at the same time? Must be Drool City.
Now look, whoever you are, now you can't scare me. Now, there's no such thing as a man from outer space. Now, I don't know how you did those tricks, but if you just better keep your distance, or you're going to hear me scream like you've never heard anybody scream.
I've never heard anyone scream. Is that your way of saying thanks?
Uh-huh. Help has already arrived, so you just stay cool, spaceman, or help. It's for you.
Ah, my lost luggage. Bibi Nunu, because my casual clothes are in there. Take a hike. Scrim. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Here we go. Keep the change.
You really are from out there.
No, actually, I'm from out there. You see, out there is not a nice neighborhood. I wouldn't even go there during a total eclipse.
An alien! You're not going to hurt me, are you?
Hurt you? No, damaging other life forms is unthinkable to us. I wouldn't harm a half on your choli cho-cho. It occurs to me we have not been formally introduced. A formal introduction is at hand.
Ba-dee!
Get down. I am Mork from Mork. Nanu.
I'm Mindy McConnell.
I like a being with a firm gribbit. Shows character, at least evolution.
Thank you. How do you say thank you in your language?
We spit.
Mind if I don't say thank you?
No sweat off my front.
I just can't believe this. I'm standing here talking to an alien. Do you realize the historic sweep of this? I mean, the world will be astounded.
No, Nap. You see, my mission is to observe Earth, and the only way I can do that is by being one of you, a face in the crowd, which is easy because I fit right in.
Not really.
No?
No.
You sure?
Oh, I'm sure. I'll tell you what. Now, I'm as interested in you and your planet as you are about us, so how about I can teach you how to act Earthling if you teach me more about Orc? Is that a deal?
A fair exchange. Let's formally close the deal.
Mind if I just spit?
Your house. I will be staying here, won't I? I mean, I've heard so much about your Earthling hospitality.
Oh, well, you can, temporarily. Oh, but if my father finds out...
Father? Oh, on Earth you have natural parents. You see, I'm a test tube baby. Yes, my father was an eyedropper, the scum.
Why would you say that?
Well, he ran away and left Mom. Ran off with a bottle of nose drops. Can't blame him, though. She had those tight labels.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we had so many calls about the new beta personality, we've decided to delete that file and go back to the original Amusatron 5000 Alpha model. And here we go.
The real Amusatron 5000. You haven't played solitaire with a real deck of cards in years. You have a list of 15 phone numbers to reach your family of three. You call your son's beeper to let him know that it is time to leave. He emails you back from his bedroom, what's for dinner? Your daughter sells Girl Scout cookies via her website. You chat several times a day with someone from South Africa, but you haven't spoken with your next door neighbor yet this year. Your daughter just bought a single CD of all the records your college roommate used to play. Your grandmother clogs up your email inbox asking you to send her a JPEG file of your newborn so she can create a screensaver. You buy a computer and a week later it is out of date and now sells for half the price you paid. The concept of using real money, instead of credit or debit, to make a purchase is foreign to you. You consider second-day air delivery painfully slow. Your reason for not staying in touch with family is that they do not have email addresses. You hear most of your jokes via email instead of in person. Joke next. Q. How do you tell an introverted computer scientist from an extrovert computer scientist? An extrovert computer scientist looks at your shoes when he talks to you. Joke next. A man flying in a hot air balloon suddenly realizes he's lost. He reduces height and spots a man down below. He lowers the balloon further and shouts to get directions. Excuse me, can you tell me where I am? The man below says, yes, you're in a hot air balloon, hovering 30 feet above this field. You must work in information technology, says the balloonist. I do, replies the man. How did you know? Well, says the balloonist, everything you have told me is technically correct, but it's of no use to anyone. The man below replies, you must work in management. I do, replies the balloonist, but how do you know? Well, says the man, you don't know where you are or where you are going, but you expect me to be able to help. You're in the same position you were before we met, but now it's my fault. Joke next. Glumstorming sitting around in a group, discussing why a deadline was missed or a project failed, and who was responsible. Seagull manager, a manager who flies in, makes a lot of noise, craps on everything, and then leaves. Chainsaw consultant, an outside expert brought in to reduce the employee headcount, leaving the top brass with clean hands. Cube farm, an office filled with cubicles. Mouse potato, the online, wired generation's answer to the couch potato. Prairie dogging, when someone yells or drops something loudly in a cube farm, and people's heads pop up over the walls to see what's going on. Sitcom, single income, to children, oppressive mortgage, what yuppies turn into when they have children and one of them stops working to stay home with the kids. Starter marriage, a short-lived first marriage that ends in divorce with no kids, no property and no regrets. Stress pulpy, a person who seems to thrive on being stressed out and whiny. Swiped out an ATM or credit card that has been rendered useless because the magnetic strip is worn away from extensive use. Tourists, people who take training classes just to get a vacation from their jobs. We had three serious students in the class, the rest were just tourists. Treeware hacker slang for documentation or other printed material. Xerox subsidy euphemism for swiping free photocopies from one's workplace. Chips and salsa, chips equals hardware, salsa equals software. Well, first we gotta figure out if the problem's in your chips or your salsa. Percussive maintenance, the fine art of whacking the heck out of an electronic device to get it to work again. Try not to dent the case. Salmon day, the experience of spending an entire day swimming upstream only to get a seal wet and die in the end. CLM, career limiting move used among microserfs to describe ill-advised activity. Trashing your boss while he or she is within earshot is a serious CLM. Administer the rarefied organizational layers beginning just above the rank and file. Decisions that fall from the administrator are often profoundly inappropriate or irrelevant to the problems they were designed to solve. Dilberted, to be exploited and oppressed by your boss. Derived from the experiences of Dilbert, the Geek in Hell comic strip character. I've been Dilberted again. The old man revised the specs for the fourth time this week. 400 for someone who's clueless. From the World Wide Web error message, 404 not found, meaning that the requested document could not be located. Don't bother asking him, he's 404, man. Joke next. Dial 911 immediately. Open the curtains to see if anything has changed over the past 2 years. You mean there's something else to do? Threaten your ISP with an impeachment vote. Work. Reintroduce yourself to your immediate family. Get that kidney transplant you've been putting off. Joke next. Computer history of the world. In the beginning, God created the bit and the byte. And from those he created the word. And there were two bytes in the word, and nothing else existed. And God separated the one from the zero, and he saw it was good. And God said, let the data be, and so it happened. And God said, let the data go to their proper places. And he created floppy disks and hard disks and compact disks. And God said, let the computers be, so there would be a place to put floppy disks and hard disks and compact disks. Us, God created computers and called them hardware, and there was no software yet. But God created programs, small and big, and told them go and multiply yourselves and fill all the memory. And God said, I will create the programmer, and the programmer will make new programs and govern over the computers and programs and data. And God created the programmer, and put him at data center, and God showed the programmer the catalog tree and said, you can use all the volumes and subvolumes, but do not use Windows. And God said, it is not good for the programmer to be alone. He took a bone from the programmer's body and created a creature that would look up at the programmer, and admire the programmer, and love the things the programmer does, and God called the creature the user. And the programmer and the user were left under the naked boss, and it was good. But Bill was smarter than all the other creatures of God. And Bill said to the user, did God really tell you not to run any programs? And the user answered, God told us that we can use every program and every piece of data, but told us not to run Windows or we will die. And Bill said to the user, how can you talk about something you did not even drive? The moment you run Windows, you will become equal to God. You will be able to create anything you like by a simple click of your mouse. And the user saw that the fruits of the Windows were nicer and easier to use, and the user saw that any knowledge was useless since Windows could replace it. So the user installed the Windows on his computer, and said to the programmer that it was good, and the programmer immediately started to look for new drivers, and God asked him, what are you looking for? And the programmer answered, I am looking for new drivers because I cannot find them in the DOS. And God said, who told you need drivers? Did you run Windows? And the programmer said, it was Bill who told us to. And God said to Bill, because of what you did, you will be hated by all the creatures, and the user will always be unhappy with you, and you will always sell Windows. And God said to the user, because of what you did, the Windows will disappoint you and eat up all your resources, and you will have to use lousy programs, and you will always rely on the programmer's help. And God said to the programmer, because you listen to the user, you will never be happy. All your programs will have errors and you will have to fix them to the end of time. And God threw them out of the data center and locked the door and secured it with a password. General protection fault joke next. Top 10 signs you bought a bad computer. Lower corner of screen have the words Edgy Sketch on it. Its celebrity spokesman is that, hey Barn, guy. In order to start it you need some jumper cables and a friend's car. Its slogan is, MTUM redefining mathematics. The quick reference manual is 120 pages long. Whenever you turn it on, all the dogs in your neighborhood start howling. The screen often displays the message, ain't it break time yet? The manual contains only one sentence, good luck. The only chip inside is a Dorito. You've decided that your computer is an excellent addition to your fabulous paperweight collection. Joke next. There was life before the computer. An application was for employment. A program was a TV show. A cursor used profanity. A keyboard was a piano. Memory was something that you lost with age. A CD was a bank account. And if you had a broken disc, it would hurt when you found Alt. Compress was something you did to garbage, not something you did to a file. And if you unzipped anything in public, you'd be in jail for a while. Logon was adding wood to a fire. Hard drive was a long trip on the road. The mouse pad was where a mouse lived. And the backup happened to your commode. Cut you did with a pocket knife. Paste you did with glue. A web was a spider's home. And the virus was the flu. I guess I'll stick to my pad and paper and the memory in my head. I hear nobody's been killed in a computer crash, but when it happens they wish they were dead. End of run.
And that was the original run of the Amusatron 5000 Alpha. And now part two, The Last Train from Work.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Mindy, we have good news. Now that Mork has aged out of existence, we had come to collect his essence and bring him back to Ork. His test tube was warming to see him again.
But Orson, you found him?
When we did our standard doo-doo-doo-dah search to collect his essence, we discovered that his essence has been spread across your whole planet. Seems he's found a home in hearts from Alaska to Argentina, from Santiago to Singapore, from Hong Kong to Hawaii, and Brooklyn to Berlin. They're laughing and smiling every day, each one with more than a little bit of Robin in every one.
You mean Mork?
Right, Mindy. Mork. There's a little Mork in so many hearts here on this adopted home of his. Looks like he's already home.
Nano Nano Wilson.
Nano Nano, Mindy. Hello.
Da 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 da. And now, Scintillatina brings us her limerick collection.
In tribute to Robin Williams, clearly Zelda and Robin Williams loved Le Petit Prince by Saint-Exupéry. This is a quote that I've always loved. Goodbye, said the fox, and now here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And here's our limericks. There was a young lady whose chin resembled the point of a pin. So she had it made sharp and purchased a harp and played several tunes with her chin. There was an old man with a flute. A serpent ran into his boot, but he played day and night till the serpent took flight and avoided that man with a flute. There was a young lady whose eyes were unique as to color and size. When she opened them wide, people all turned aside and started away in surprise. There was an old man of the aisles whose face was pervaded with smiles. He sung hi-dum-diddle and played on the fiddle, that amiable man of the aisles. There was a young lady whose bonnet came untied when the birds sate upon it. But she said, I don't care. All the birds in the air are welcome to sit on my bonnet. There was an old man with a beard who said, it is just as I feared, two owls and a hen, four larks and a wren have all built their nests in my beard. There was a young person of Crete whose toilette was far from complete. She dressed in a sack, spickle-speckled with black, that ambiferous person of Crete. There was an old man of Kilkenny who never had more than a penny. He spent all that money in onions and honey, that wayward old man of Kilkenny. There was an old man who supposed that the street door was partially closed, but some very large rats ate his coats and his hats, while that futile old gentleman dozed. And here's our last one. There was an old man of the West who wore a pale plum-colored vest. When they said, does it fit? He replied, not a bit. That uneasy old man of the West. And there you have it.
Thank you very
much. And now...
So are we done?
We're done.
All right. Well, thank you for possibly making part of your show.
Indeed, indeed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have the great and distinct honor of greeting you live and in person, Lady Lillian of Lancaster, with her limericks.
Well, hello, hello.
Lady Lillian, I trust you're well.
I fare very well. And you, my dear friend?
I am musing on a great and awesome genius, and like him, we give tribute to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, I have a few for you, if I may.
Please, take five.
There was an old lady from Brutes whose body was really her suit. The hair on her chest billowed out of her vest, while her head was as bald as a coot. There once was a man named Wright, who traveled much faster than light. He sped off one day, in a relative way, and returned the previous night. There once was a boy named Fred. He never gets out of bed. The reason was he was stuck to the fuzz, and all him round him bees buzzed. stuck here for life, he said. There was an old man at Thermal Police who never did anything improperly. But they said if you choose to boil eggs in your shoes, you shall never remain in Thermal Police. There was an old man with a gong who bumped at it all day long, but they called out, "Oh, la, you're a horrid old boar," so they smashed at the old man with the gong. There was a young person of Smyrna whose grandmother threatened to burn her, but she seized on the cat and said, "Granny, burn that." The incongruous old woman of Smyrna. Old man on the hill who seldom, if ever, stood still. He ran up and down in his grandmother's gown, which adorned that old man on the hill. There was a young lady whose bonnet came untied when the birds sat upon it, but she said, "I don't care. All the birds in the air are welcome to sit on my bonnet." There was a young fellow.
Oh, they seem to like that one.
There was a young fellow from Belfast that I wanted so badly to tell Fast not to climb up the stair, as the top step was air, and that's why the young fellow.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Miss Lillian. That was just amazing. And I hope you'll join us again.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Our pleasure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once more from the genius.
Come on, don't do anything rash.
Look, you still have your brain.
Well, that's the good news, men. There's some bad news you don't want to hear right now. Listen, can we talk about this, maybe discuss it?
No. We Necrotons have a saying. If an enemy gets in your way, you just needlepoint a sampler out of their hair.
Oh, you're a real homebody, you know that?
Mm-hmm. But since I don't have time to do all of that, I'll just part her hair down to her toes. Don't you think?
It's just kind of girl talk, man. Something about split ends. Listen, if you hurt her, you'll break my heart.
Oh, you can have one of mine. I have three. All right. You have littered your last cage. If you come near me, I'll poke you with my perch.
No. Now, listen. If you hurt her, you'll never ever be my friend.
Oh, you'll forget about her.
No, you never forget about a friend even when they're gone.
Oh, I don't know what I'm feeling. No matter what I do, I can't win. You are driving me crazy.
I think she wants to be a little more than just friends.
I don't care what you call it. If I can't have him, no one can.
Well, it's a friend's way of showing affection, man.
Time for slicing and dicing.
No. Not so fast, Captain Fiorucci. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ow, ow.
Ha, you missed the whole galaxy.
Really? I warn you, I'm the best swordsman in all of Ork. Well, I never actually faced a person.
But I am undefeated at capes and pictures.
Oh, I can't do it. You win.
I win? Well, what'd I do?
I'll make a deal with you. Mork, you can't trust her. Oh, go peck your cuddle bone. Listen, I'll set your pet free. I'll say in my report that the Earth was uninhabitable if only you'll come back and be my mate.
Oh, that's a wonderful offer. Can I sleep on that?
Okay. We'll go back and you'll be the master. I'll be your slave.
We've heard enough.
Drop your sword. Don't point that thing at me. I'm your captain.
Our ex-captain. Filing false reports. That's treason. We're going to vaporize you and take the two specimens home with us. We'll be heroes.
See, I told you they wanted my job.
Traitors deserve to suffer. I think we'll crush her slowly with the Necroton death hug.
Oh! Gee, that always
always wrinkles my clothes. Just vaporizer.
Hey, you at the death ride. You've got a split in your tights.
Okay, ladies, put your hands up.
Don't worry. No. She can't shoot. She doesn't know the firing sequence. Quick, the death hug.
No, no, no. Don't harm her. Ow. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Okay, gang, reach for Mars. No, I mean, up on your hand. No, not you, you. No, not you, Ben. No, you, Mark.
Min, she does me.
Okay, open the door. Get out, pet. I'm not a pet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Get in, goons.
Oh, Min.
Oh, you know, I still don't understand. I tortured you, I put you in a cage, and yet you helped me, and Mork, you saved my life.
Well, what else would a friend do?
I don't know, I never had any. Are you going to let us go?
Sure, you got the gun.
Min, here. We have more with our friendship than can ever be destroyed by any gun. Now will you let us go?
Do I have to?
A friend would.
You guys sure play rough.
This time I had my eyes closed.
Yeah, me too.
Well, goodbye, Nirvana.
Next time you come to this planet, I won't hide.
Oh, what are you going to do with the Kaman Sutra?
I'm going to try to teach him what you taught me, but if that doesn't work, I think I'll have him stuck.
Wait. Well, when you have friends, does it hurt when they leave you?
Yes.
Well, then I guess I found some real friends.
Come in, Orson. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Come out, wherever you are. Ollie, Ollie, fat, thin, free.
Mork, sir, I'm relieved to see you in one piece.
Well, sir, what do you expect to see me in a bikini, your Harper's Bazaarness?
Congratulations on once again surviving the attack of the Necroton.
Well, sir, this has been a week and all weeks. I'm not kidding you.
Now that it's over, have you any special observations to report?
You must remember this, that a kiss is still a kiss, and a sigh is just a sigh. And on Earth, friendship is as contagious as the flu.
Are you sure?
Well, it must be, sir. I mean, I caught it from Mindy, then I gave it to Nirvana, captain of the Necrotons.
You gave it away?
Well, I got it right back. I mean, that's the funny thing about friendship, you know? It's like a boomerang. It comes right back at you. Bam!
But you wasted it on a Necroton, our enemy.
Well, but now we have one less enemy.
There's plenty more Necrotons where she came from, Mork.
Oh, but sir, how about this for a plan? Tell you what, if everybody makes two friends, and those two friends make two more friends, and two more friends, and two more friends, and out to infinity, pretty soon we'll all be flying the friendly skies and united. Until next week, sir. Nanu, Nanu.
Pay a little tribute to that great genius, Robin Williams. And for all the comedians and all the people that laugh, thanks for being our friend, Robin. Thank you, one and all, for tuning in. Bye-bye.